Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. Today, I am really excited. I get to welcome author and speaker Phil Gerbyshack to the program. Phil works in one of my favorite arenas, and that's social media. He works with people who want to leverage media into real-life connections, and we're going to talk a lot about that. He is the author of many books, most recently, The Naked Truth of Social Media, which, by the way, is available for free on his website until December 2nd. Go to socialmedianakedtruth.com. Excuse me, I'm catching a cold. And be sure to grab it while it's still a free gift. It's available till the 2nd. And have it handy for Thanksgiving reading. I have it. I read it. Phil in the green room, I read it. It's a quick read. It's an easy read. And then I scanned it again and went, oh, I missed stuff. So I printed it out, and now I'm marking it up with my yellow highlighter. It's a very important book. There's a lot of great information from a lot of people in there, and he'll share that with us. So Phil has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Financial Times, Investor's Business Daily, and many other publications online and offline. I'm honored that you're here, Phil. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Denise. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always fun to talk with people like you. I met you first on Susan Barnsini Moe's event.
Yeah.
That was a fascinating event. And, yeah, I watched you and all of your, you know, your other panelists, so to speak, just interact. And it was amazing. I took so much away from that. But
awesome.
Before we get too deep into it, can you tell people a little bit about yourself and where they can find you on the web?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess a little bit about me. I'm based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so right kind of in the center of the country. And for those who don't know, Wisconsin is a state. We're just north of Chicago. If you take the train, it's 90 minutes north. And I've been here. Actually, next year I can officially call this my home because I'll be here 17 years as of next year. I've been in the Navy, been a stockbroker, been an IT guy, done lots of different stuff, been playing in social media since 2005, and I say playing because I love people. It is not about the tools, and I get to talk to cool people like you, Denise, and other awesome folks, and really get connected, and not so much about the tools, though certainly understanding the mechanics of the tools is important and can be difficult, but once I realized that it isn't about the tech, it's all about the talk and the conversations that you have, it's been just a joy. So, you can find me, I guess, online at either my personal website at my name, philgerbyshack.com, or at milwaukeesocialmedia.com, or shortened up for those who don't know how to spell Milwaukee, MKESM.com.
I can't spell it either.
Yeah,
but,
right. So I'm really short.
I know. But I do know that Wisconsin is a state. I did know that much. But, you know, you said something very interesting because we both have tech backgrounds. I'm a web developer. I have a computer science degree. I always want to tear things apart and see how they work.
Yep.
And for me, when I first started in social media, I had two problems. Number one, I had to kind of overcome that techie background. And number two, I'm an intensely private person. So for me to kind of share what I'm having for lunch or, you know, what my office assistants who happen to be furniture with fur are doing, it was difficult for me. It took me a long time to make that leap between being personable in my business. And it was difficult for me. I promise you it was.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you might have had the same kind of angst.
Yeah, well, it isn't easy. I mean, you have to really be willing to put yourself out there, because if all you're doing is spewing information, people aren't as interested as if you as when you warm them up with some conversation. And people like to talk to other people, and that seems just so obvious when you say it, but so many people miss that, and they focus too much on that technology. And I think that's that is a big mistake, and it's definitely a challenge to overcome. I have a computer science degree as well. I can code. I'm not super good at it anymore, but I have the ability to, and certainly that's helpful, but nobody cares what the code is behind WordPress or behind your website until you can make it look pretty. And that's, you know, and pretty is in the eye of the beholder. And I use the word pretty because it's really, it has to be visually appealing first before anybody's going to get past it. That first-year's impression matters so much online.
It does. Yeah, it does. You know, I've seen some websites that, and I've heard of these people, and they've got great reputations. And, you know, their body of work is phenomenal. And, you know, eventually enough of their information will seep into my brain. I'll say, well, let me go look at their website. And then I suck in air because it is so awful that I don't even know where to start to go look. So I just bounce right back out.
That's the thing. I mean, it's like if you have spinach in your teeth, then you have a great message. People are going to be staring at that spinach. They're not going to be tuned into your message. So it is worth the time and the energy and the effort. And if you can't do it yourself, finding someone and investing in that to make that better, because it is so important. Before people meet you, they're going to Google you. You don't have to like it, but people will Google you. And people will Google your business. And if you don't have anything, or if you're fragmented and inconsistent online, then people are going to know that. And that's a challenge that you're going to need to overcome. And putting, you know, it's almost like walking in the business with, you know, both arms tied behind your back. You're at a severe disadvantage.
Well, and it's difficult for people to take you seriously if you don't present yourself well online. I mean, that's just the way of the world these days. You know, you used to be able to get by with a business card and a winning smile. Can't really do that anymore.
No, most people don't even want your business card unless it's really cool, because it's not a differentiator anymore. It's an
expectation. No, it goes in the trash. Yeah, it goes straight in the trash. Flyers, same thing. You know, I'll be at events and people are handing me piles of paper. And frankly, I just hand it right back. It's like, thank you. I just know. I'll look for you online. I just don't want to carry it around with me.
Yeah.
So, all right, social media. You've been doing this since about 2005. What got you started?
Well, I thought that I would like to get some better practice writing. So I started a blog, actually, Scott Ginsburg. He's a guy with the name tag. Scott was the first guy to encourage me to get my butt in gear and get a blog. And that was really social media. And then LinkedIn opened up, and in 06, Twitter opened up. And I really saw it really early as just a connector with other people. I mean, folks, websites used to be so one-dimensional. They just used to be such broadcast, almost like a billboard. And as things changed, as we got more and more, I guess, social, for lack of a better term, there became more conversation, leaving comments, you know, sharing other people's stuff, talking to them, asking questions. I can remember reading books. Let's flash way back, and let's talk about physical books. I can remember reading books and thinking, wow, that author really must have taken just a great deal of time to write that. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if one day I could encounter that person? And then as I saw things change and as social media changed, these folks were a lot more approachable, and businesses became, some of them anyway, became a lot more human. And I saw that shift coming, and I was in corporate America, and I was moonlighting in social media, working with businesses to understand it. A lot resisted. They didn't even want LinkedIn. In fact, the company that I came out of, they just started using social media to really connect in the last year or two. They didn't even do it when I was there, so I had to
late
moonlight.
Late to the party.
Yeah. So I saw it as an opportunity to really get to know smart people and you know, honestly, to show myself as one of those smart people. I'm able to think coherently and share my thoughts, and you know, I've got some ideas on business, and I've had some success. So why not share it, and why not work with other people and teach them how to use it? And so taking the stuff that I learned in corporate America about communicating interpersonally and really taking that online, it's a lot the same as having a meeting with people that are really interested in what you have to say. So it became clear that was the way things were going. So I got really involved in 2008. I gave my 2-year notice in corporate America and then left full-time in June of 2010 to be doing my business full-time starting then.
Right. Well, you know, Phil, you said something very interesting, and that is about sharing other people's content. Because, boy, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm a virtual assistant, I'm a web developer, we're kind of a one-stop shop. And that's the biggest point of resistance that I hit when I'm explaining social media to my clients. Well, why would I want to share other people's stuff? They're my competitors. Head slap, head slap, head slap. So take that one for me, will you?
Yeah, well, that is interesting, and that's a great question. And the reason that you want to do that is because you're not always the right answer. And by that, I don't mean you're the wrong answer, but you're not the perfect answer. You might not be the ideal fit for that person. So if you're just sharing your information, first of all, you look like you're someone who isn't very educated. If you went to college and you told the professor, you know what, no, don't teach me anything. I already know everything about this. I'm just going to sit here, and I'm just going to, every test that I take, I'm just going to write down my thoughts, and you don't have to teach me anything. Well, that's what businesses are doing.
No, wait a second. I did that. That was wrong?
That was wrong, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
I thought about doing it. I didn't actually do it. Well, I wanted to sometimes.
Yeah, right. Well, we all do. And I think naturally our inclination is to be headstrong and to say, I'm the expert. And I'm not saying you give up that expertise. I'm saying you recognize that there's other smart people out there. There's other people out there that add value to the world. In fact, maybe you didn't realize this, but you can't write every piece of content that needs to be written about your topic. You just don't have time. It's not even close. So you're doing a disservice to your customers if the only thing you ever share with them is the stuff that you've written.
And not only that, Phil, but if you're writing, if you are insisting on writing your own content, where are you calling that information from to write about? You're reading other people's work, other experts.
Yeah.
It didn't just come to you in the middle of the night and all of a sudden you're an expert. You learned it from other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we learn from each other so quickly if we're
very,
just
very
open and open to hearing what they have to say.
Right. And here's a thing, too, and I'd like your take on this. When I'm talking with clients or potential clients, I'll say, well, who is your target audience? And, yes, it's a trick question because they instantly say, well, everyone. No. No. And, you know, and that leads us back to, well, if you're only putting out your own stuff and you're not becoming a resource by sharing other information and other people's products and thoughts and writings, you really don't have an audience. I mean, you really
That's
don't
right.
because you've narrowed it so, you've narrowed your focus so profoundly that your cousin, your mom might think what you're doing is great, but nobody else is going to pay attention. Am I way off the mark there?
No, I think you're absolutely right on the mark. I think it's funny that we started out talking a little bit about technology, but if we think about the open source movement in technology, it's all about someone coming up with an idea and then people working together to improve
right.
it. And
WordPress.
To make it, yeah, WordPress
is perfect
example.
About that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, no, I think you're right on the mark. And as we think about, the more we share, the smarter we all get, and the more we open our eyes to the opportunities, the better chance we have at adding real value to the world, not just to our pocketbook, but to the world.
Mm-hmm. That's a great insight. People do resist it at first. I think that, oh, no, no, this is mine. And that may come from that kind of corporate mindset where you're, you know, you're standing around the water cooler, but you're not giving up your idea just in case somebody steals it. And there's still a little bit of that in social media. No, I don't want to share everything. Well, you don't want to share pictures of yourself in a bikini, clearly. But you do want to share ideas and thoughts, and you do want to bring other people in to kind of work with you on these things. And, you know, by doing that, like you've done with your book, is to cross-promote to their audiences. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, how you, when you're bringing in other people to work on projects with you, you vastly open up your audience?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for instance, I'm not a web developer. So every project that I get that relates to a website, to a blog, to WordPress, I need someone to do that technical side, because that's not my strength anymore. My strength is in the strategy side and what you're going to want to put on that page and then how you're going to use that to connect the words you use and the different things you say. Well, immediately, I have to find someone who aligns with who I am. Mm-hmm. And that gives me then the opportunity to do much larger scale projects than if I say, well, no, I can only do this small piece and you have to go find someone. So instead of me being the person that makes that introduction and me kind of playing traffic cop or project manager, I can then be even more resourceful, get even better projects, do even more good, and really make an impact instead of having to do everything small scale or really to just be just a little piece of everything. So instead, I can open that up, and what happens then by giving that away is often I get back. I get people who say, well, Phil, we'd really like you to do what you're really good at because we're going to focus on what we're good at. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have a meeting in 2 weeks with someone who does something that's completely unrelated to me that wants to learn more about what I do so they can be a better referral partner for me. And that's really powerful stuff because I want the ability to refer to them, and now I have to worry about them poaching my business and them worry about me poaching theirs. So the more I open that up and the more I give away, the more I give back, and it sounds trite. It's not. It works. So by staying niche and yet reaching out and being bigger, I'm able to do even more.
I agree, and it does kind of go against everything we were taught when we came out of high school and college, get a job. Yeah, you know, just do your work, keep your head down, and, you know, don't share a whole lot of stuff because somebody will steal it or poach it, and you're just, you know, you're going to be mopping the janitor's floor forever and ever. It just doesn't work that way anymore, if it ever did, to be honest with you. But I know in social media, online, we get to meet the darndest people by never leaving our houses. I mean, I don't know about you, Phil. My office is in my home. It has been ever since I bought the home. It's always been a dedicated office, and I get to chat from the comfort of my home office with people like you and Susan Barancini Moe and Bob Berg and John Morgan, and oh geez, the list just goes on and on and on. And this has been managed strictly through social media and the way I handle my social media, and I get to meet great people. I have a ball doing what I do.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is people are much more approachable. And you know, you just have to be willing to approach them. So social media is a perfect opportunity for you to do that pre-research and to stop blasting out your message hoping like people care. Instead, you can focus in and you can care about them first so that you can then connect with them in real, genuine ways. And that's such a big difference, because before this online revolution, it was really difficult to know anything about people. And now it's really difficult not to know something about people.
I know. It actually, you have to kind of be careful, I think.
Yep.
I mean, you don't want to be putting everything out there. And I preach this all the time, and I'm willing to bet you do too. There's a big difference between being personable and personal. And you don't want to be social media marketing.
Yeah, you definitely have to be careful with that. And that's where, you know, for instance, Foursquare is a great tool for using on with local businesses, for using to get specials, for seeing where your friends or customers might be hanging out. But at the same time, if you go too personal and you check in at your house, then you end up with people like that set up a website like pleaserobme.com that shows all the home locations that people have created. So you, there is a fine line. You have to balance that. It's really important. And if you're not sure, if there's any question, then don't post it. Don't do it.
There you go. Yeah. And we were talking in our virtual green room before the show went live. One big mistake that we both see people doing is they get on Facebook or LinkedIn. Well, Facebook, I think, is the biggest problem because it's just so easy for people to do. But they'll say, oh, okay, I've got this great widget or I've got this great product or I just wrote a book, and they go slam it onto your wall. And my attitude is, I don't know you, don't post a sign on my lawn.
That's right.
That is the first way to get blocked, banned, smacked. It's the bad thing to do.
Yeah, click my junk and buy my crap are not successful strategies. You have
you put
to.
It, I like the way you put it better.
Well, I mean, you could say, you know, you could say putting it on one. That's almost too nice. I mean, that's really what you're saying, though.
I'm a Southern girl.
If you just like sprint, imagine sprinting through the grocery store, screaming about your product. That's what you're doing. Or worse than that, jumping on top of somebody's grocery cart and preventing them from going where they need to go until they look you right in the eye and you say, look at me, I'm awesome, yay! So that's not good. Not good strategy.
I have a mental image in my head now. I will be entertained for the rest of the day. Thanks. I appreciate
you
that.
You betcha.
But it's true. I mean, I had a friend request come in on Facebook the other day. I'm very close to my limit. So I'm kind of fussy about, you know, who I let on there. I need to be able to see your profile. I need to know what you're doing. You know, do we have anything in common, that kind of thing. And this guy looked pretty interesting, so I went ahead and said yes. I mean, 3 minutes later, he put stuff all over my profile. He got blocked. I didn't even bother to tell him why. You know, normally I would say, you know, that's just not a good idea, but he didn't stop at one. He just he wallpapered the place.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's horrible.
Okay, you're done. I'm sorry?
That is horrible.
Well, it was silly. It was such a rookie move, and I thought maybe I should explain it to him, but I was kind of cranky, so I didn't. But, you know, you just don't do things like that. Here's the rule of thumb, don't you think? If you don't want to do it to somebody in person and you don't want it done to you, don't do it on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an easy way to use the rules of social media. If you think about it, like, would you say it to someone sitting next to you? Hey, look at me, buy my junk! I mean, probably would. Right? Or, hey, my book is awesome, it's only $3! Really?
Yeah, buy it now.
No. But, hey, you know, I thought you might be interested in my book, and here's three reasons why it might interest you.
Right.
After we've gotten to know each other, might be an appropriate thing.
Possibly.
But not as a, you know, right? I mean, or if we talk about dating, right? Don't try to make out with somebody you just met.
No.
Another
kidding.
Bad idea.
That'll get you slugged, especially in
that
my part.
Will, yeah.
Well, this is. When you went online in 2005, things are changing. I mean, things have changed tremendously, and they're changing kind of daily, aren't they? So can you kind of walk us through how it was when you started out and the more profound changes, I guess? You know, what was good then and what is great now?
Sure. Well, long time ago, back in 2005, which feels like ancient history, there wasn't Twitter and there wasn't LinkedIn. And so everything was all about your blog. It was about creating great content and then often being generous and linking back to other people's great content and doing that kind of derivative work in addition to some original work and sharing their stuff. And when you wanted to share something, guess what? You'd send an email. And you had to be personal because if you sent it in the BCC line, often folks wouldn't open it. So you'd have to send a personal note. Hey, by the way, I wrote this article. And here's why your readers might benefit from it, or here's why you might like it, because it's like something you did, or because something that you said that's completely different from how I feel. So you might have that conversation. And the focus in 2005 really was on extending the conversation back on your site. And not a lot of companies had blogs, and quite a few individuals did, and it wasn't as much marketing. It was not as salesy. It was far more personal, and we didn't have to, you know, beat people in the head to get them to read our stuff. And it was much different than it is now, in the fact that now people have so much noise, mm-hmm. and it's so easy to ignore people, and our attention span is even less than it was, that we really have to fight for that attention. So there's two ways to do that. One is you have to be even more interesting with your content. And interesting is a combination of relevancy and interest. You can't just be interesting, because if your headline is really cool and they click through and it's not what you promised in that headline, they're not going to click through again. They're probably not going to trust you. So it has to be relevant. So you have to tie those two together, and they have to be closely tied together. Now, if you're, you know, I Can Has Cheeseburger and you're posting pictures of kitties,
love them.
Well, then maybe you don't have to be quite as relevant. But anybody else, you have to be dead on relevant with that. So that it didn't used to be that way. But the great part now is that it's far easier to actually connect with people and to learn about them and to learn more. People are a lot more open. Even people that are introverted, they at least share what they're interested in business, because mm-hmm. there are so many more niche networks than there were. Pinterest is a great example of something that you can use to learn just oodles and oodles about your customers. You can find out what they like. If they're sharing pictures of your product, chances are they like you, or at least they like your product. And if they're sharing pictures of your competitors, you need to look at why. What is it about these competitors? So immediate market research that you couldn't have done years ago. This used to be stuff that people would guard so closely to the vest that you'd never know anything about them. You might get one picture of their product, and now you get hundreds. And if you're in services, people step through their process so you can learn about how they do it, not so that you can copy them, but so that you can see where you're different and where you're helpful in ways that maybe they're not. So what it's done is it's given the consumer the choice so much more than it ever was before. So the big change is the conversation has gone from the blog really to kind of off the blog. And something that's exactly the same and even more so is that the one-to-one human interaction is even more important. The relationship matters even more. So when you think about LinkedIn used to be you'd connect with just about anyone because nobody had connections. And now you really have to think, is this someone that I'd be comfortable referring, not recommending, referring to somebody else? Do they look reputable enough? And if they don't, then you probably don't want to accept their invitation. And you probably don't want to be friendly with them. And if they do, then it's much easier than it's ever been then to share. Because you can just click a button and you can connect two people unlike it's ever been before. So much easier. And you don't have to give up much personal information. Because you can connect them on Twitter, and if they like each other and they hit it off, then they can share their own information. And you don't feel like, oh, well, did Denise want me to give up her email address or not?
Oh, no, Denise did not.
That's right.
You know, the thing about LinkedIn, I always considered it a pretty stuffy place to be, but it's come a long, long ways. So, you know, it's definitely worth a second look. What do you think about the new Pinterest business pages now? I mean, they just kind of rolled out.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think we're seeing that people want to often be talked to by other people. They don't want to be marketed to. You know, I forget who said this, but they said marketers ruin everything because that's what marketers do. They use it to
I think it was
to
God.
Sell.
I think God
yeah,
said that.
Yeah, right? But that's the thing. Folks think that changes. So what does that mean for you? Well, if you're a business and you have a Pinterest business page, business board, you have to then know that people are going to see it's a business, which means you have to try even harder to be even more human because the doubt that you're inhuman and you're just some big building or some monolithic organization has changed.
Right, right. Now, for small businesses, I think it may be a very good thing. I'm just now starting to look at it. I haven't really jumped into it full bore yet. But I'm going to be very curious, and I will be watching, you know, how this progresses, you know, for entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and big brands, Pepsi and, you know, all of those big brands. So it's good. And I'm sure they're going to be treated, they will treat themselves very differently than, you know, between the steps. Yeah, if you're a small guy or you're a big guy, I suspect they'll be presenting themselves very, very differently. And I can't wait to see how that rolls out.
Yeah, it should be very, very interesting to see how some of these big brands do, and then to see the difference between them and the smaller brands, because often the little brands they are skittish. They don't want to invest in something that they're concerned isn't going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be paying attention, I think. And I would encourage instead to go ahead and just try it and
just
see
do it. Yeah.
What happens, you know? I mean, I'm not saying spend all day, but spend a little bit of time and check to see how it works.
Right. You just put it on your – I have an editorial calendar, so to speak. I know where I'm going to be on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, writing articles. You know, I've scheduled it out or I don't get it done. So, you know, I've added that. And honestly – here's my thinking. I'd love to hear what you think about this. I think that smaller brands like you, like me, if we can, you know, call ourselves a brand, we're a lot more agile than the bigger brands because they've got to go through all of those layers of management and all of those hoops. We don't. We can come up at 3 o'clock in the morning with an idea, jump out of bed, and implement it.
My money's on
the smaller guy, to be honest with you.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. As long as they're willing to take a risk and put themselves out there and be a little bit more comfortable and know that they're not going to be perfect right away, absolutely. Small guys definitely have an advantage. They can be more nimble. They can move around. If it doesn't work, they can stop doing it. You don't have to get approval from the CEO because often you are one or two people away from being the CEO. So decisions are much faster and often much more able to be changed, which is fantastic.
Right, right. Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah,
do you have
for
any
sure.
stories? Yeah. Do you have any stories about how social media has helped you or your customers or your business? I mean, do you have any? Let's do good and bad. Let's hear them both.
Sure. Well, good stories about customers using social media is I have an automotive client that last year. I was actually managing their brand, and I happened to see that someone tweeted out that they were having engine troubles with their vehicle. And part of this company's business is they have several garages. So I tweeted back with the brand's information, hey, have you checked out one of our stores, and here's where we are? And he's like, well, it's a $10,000 repair. I'm like, well, if you're going to spend $10,000, you should definitely get a second opinion.
No kidding.
Right? I mean, that's a lot of money. So the other person certainly did listen. They got a second opinion, and my client's company was able to fix the problem for less than $1,000.
Whoa.
Yeah,
seriously?
Less than $1,000.
So they got a misdiagnosis.
What happened is they were being creative with how they addressed the problem. So they went ahead and they fixed it in a different way. Because to do what they said, to fix that engine would have been $10,000. They went in another way. Now, if that was the end of the story, that would be great, but it's not. This company also that, or this person that, that had the problem with the engine, it was actually on their business vehicle. They're a street vendor, and they're a boot truck. So they, then the companies talk to each other, and my client decided, hey, well, why don't we have an employee appreciation day and bring in this client of ours and have them host it. So in addition to just saving $9,000, they also did two different employee appreciation meals, likely making them over $1,500 on something that would have cost them $10,000. So talk about a win-win. All because of Twitter and paying attention to what other people are saying. That's probably the biggest win that I've seen monetarily. Other wins, though, I see a lot of my clients get seen much more as thought leaders in their space. I have other clients who just by the power of conversation, just by saying, hey, how are you today, and continuing the dialogue as a human, are able then to convert that into business. In fact, someone that I do some pro bono consulting with gets a ton of printing leads and a ton of making signs and all sorts of stuff just by being an interesting human being with other people, so that when they think about needing printing, they go to this person. And it's been hugely successful because you stay top of mind.
Well, and I think that and I think you just hit on something so important, Phil, because you do, just by being you, oftentimes you can pick up work or you can pick up accolades that you just wonder, what did I do to deserve that? You know, every once in a while, I had a gal pop up on Facebook, and I mean, we chat back and forth on Facebook and on Twitter, but I've never really met her. And, you know, it was about 9 o'clock at night, and darned if she didn't send me the nicest email on Facebook and told me what a resource I was and what an inspiration I was, and, you know, that she just loved my sense of humor. And I went, whoa. I was really touched. I mean, she just waxed eloquent about how my sense of humor got her, and, you know, I have kind of a wicked sense of humor. I get in trouble a good bit. But, you know, got her through some kind of tough times. Well, I did not know that. I couldn't possibly have known. And I was very grateful that she shared that with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's one thing that we forget about is often the benefit isn't a direct benefit to the bottom line, but really to the community. And the community being your world around you. And now with social media, that world is big. A lot of people forget that they impact everybody that they talk to and everybody that comes into contact with them, whether it's directly like our conversation today or indirectly by sending out tweets, posting to Facebook and doing LinkedIn updates and Pinterest pins. The fact is we impact people, like it or not, some for good, some for bad. But just recognizing that should change your perspective a little bit and recognize then by not using social media, by not sharing valuable information about your company and about yourself, you're doing people a disservice and preventing them from connecting with you and preventing them possibly from even doing business with you, all because you're too closed.
Very true. You know, somebody said something to me very early in my radio program, which is, I think I started this thing back in 2008, 2009. It's been a while. It was Jack Humphrey. At the time, he had the Friday traffic report. I'm not even sure if he still has that. I know he's got a lot of things going on. But he said something during one of those very early interviews that stuck with me. And we were talking about social media, which back then was still kind of in its infancy. And he said, here's the thing that you want to be doing. And I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you want to be out there. You want to be active. You want to be a person of interest. You want to be a resource. You want to share. And he said, it doesn't matter if you know who's looking at you, but if you're out there enough and you're offering up a good bit of it, good, actionable tips, advice, information, shares, he said, people will always kind of see you out of the corner of their eye. And it may be 5 years down the road, but when they need a website or if they need social media consulting, who do they go to? Denise Griffiths, Phil Gerbyshack. I mean, they already know who you are. They're familiar with you. You may not know who in the heck they are, but they've watched you enough that they feel very confident in referring you. And it happens time and time and time again.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great point. And that referability, because you're friendly with someone, not even friends, can mm-hmm. certainly make the difference in your business. And that's really why, hopefully, you're doing this, because making friends first and doing business second is so smart. It works
yeah.
because we want to refer our friends, and we want to refer people we're friendly with. So that's where kind of I read this. I don't know who coined this term, but ambiently intimate with people, where we can connect with them online in ways that we would have never been able to connect with in person, is just such a powerful tool.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know that I'll ever meet you in person, but I'm having a great conversation with you. You know, Larry Wingate is a friend of mine. Bob Berg is a friend of mine. I have terrific conversations with them. Look, I live in a village surrounded by sugarcane fields. Do you think I'd get to meet these guys in the normal course of events? Probably not. So, yeah, and Dondi Scumaci. I mean, I have the best interviews with people that in the normal course of events, not a prayer of meeting. And it's all due to social media and, you know, how I do business on there and how I present. It's the same with you. Yeah, it's just, it's an enormously effective medium if you're yourself. I think you have to be authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. Even as a business, if you're behaving, if you're a little bit bigger and you're behaving as a business, you still have to be personal. And you share mm-hmm. some insights that other people might not have, and in a way that other people might not share. So being just a little bit personal, letting that go, and offering some of that real valuable insight and real emotion can be very
right.
helpful.
Well, you know, and because we both have these technical backgrounds, I'm curious to see if you had to overcome this as well. When I first started blogging and writing articles, I was doing it in tech speak. I was boring myself, but it was what I knew. And guess what? It didn't work. I had to actually say, okay, speak in your own real voice. You know, if you feel like being funny, be funny. Use some humor, but you can make the driest article personable if you just give it a little try.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I had to overcome some of that. I was fortunate that I really got to liaise between the business and the technology side when I was in corporate America. But certainly when I started out, I thought people wanted the technical details that I could provide, and I'm realizing, and I'm not perfect at this, right?
Yeah.
That people really want the personal story. How have I used it, and how has it helped me? That's really the powerful stuff, and how has it helped my clients? Because telling a great story, that's what gets repeated. Not, do you know that if you use Buffer app, that it scans approximately every 37 minutes to see when the ideal time to tweet is? Do you think anybody cares? I sure don't.
I would, but there's not too many of us out there.
Right.
I would be fascinated with it, and I would store it away and then never be able to use it again, because honestly, what do you do with that kind of info?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And every once in a while you have to go into your brain and defrag, so that would go away. But the humor I would remember.
Yeah.
Or the personality behind it. So, bad. I mean, we covered really great story. Do you have any, you know, kind of awful stories that people have just done things so profoundly wrong that they almost can't recover from them?
Well, your story about spamming people on their wall.
Yeah.
Certainly, I've seen that. I see folks who try to do, when they do mass emails and quote-unquote trying to be personal,
yeah.
where they include the wrong person's name in an email or in a tweet or something. I've seen that, but probably the worst that I've seen is really something you have to keep in mind and just think about how this might happen to you. So I had a client, no longer a client, who wanted me to set up their website, their blog. So we set it up, and they sell finer men's clothing and men's shoes and men's shirts, men's pants, men's belts. Lots of pictures, but no text that said the words men's clothing, men's shoes, men's belts. And my
mm-hmm.
former client said, so Phil, how come Google doesn't list us for men's shirts or men's pants or men's belts? Now, of course, I didn't read their whole website. There's probably 30 or 40 pages, and it was just copy and pasted from an old site. My goal was to just move them over to WordPress. So what
right.
I did is I logged in, And I did a search. And nowhere on their site, on the same page, on the same article, did it say men's suits, men's pants, men's shirts, or men's shoes.
And not and even alt tags on the pictures?
Nothing. No alt tags. Pictures were named picture57.jpg. Nothing useful there. Yeah, terrible. No alt tags. And so I said, you know, Google is not an ESP engine. It's a search engine. If you don't put the words, it's not going to know what you're talking about.
Right.
Google doesn't see pictures. Google reads the tags and reads the file name to determine what it is. Now, if you have text around that that supports that, then maybe that picture will come up. But more often than not, you're going to be absolutely invisible.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't happen to agree with me. He thought that Google should know that he sold men's clothing, and so we parted ways. But that was one of the biggest aha moments for me, because he didn't understand how text really matters and how images really matter and how to do that correctly. And so likely, he's probably pretty close to being extinct, because you can't find his location. And you can't find him by searching for what he does. You have to have an exact match to get to his domain, even.
So he never would listen to you about that?
Never listened, no.
That's interesting. It's very sad. I mean, that is. And if for those of you in the audience who don't know what we're talking about with alt tags, when you dump a picture into your blog or any kind of an image, and I see this with infographics too, Phil, by the way, when you dump any kind of an image in there, you need to open it up and describe the picture. If it's a men's fireman shirt size 14 and a half, whatever it is, you need to tag that picture with that image, with that information, because like he said, Google doesn't know. Google cannot read the image. So alt tags, very, very important. You can Google it, you can look it up, but anytime you're blogging, make sure you've got alt tags on your images. And I'm seeing gorgeous infographics out there. They're not putting alt tags on them. I go look now just for fun.
that's a great point.
You paid for this graphic or you create, it's gorgeous. Nobody knows what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the Google,
it's
the search
invisible.
Engines don't know what
yep.
it is. Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly right. Very, very important. So what else do we have interesting to talk about? Do you have any other stories about good, bad, indifferent? Advice,
sure.
I think, is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite stories is of A.J. Bomber's here in Milwaukee. A.J. Bomber's is a burger joint. They probably, I'd bet on a good day, maybe they can fit 80 people in their restaurant. Maybe 80 people, and they sell hamburgers.
Right.
And they have, 15,000 or 20,000 Twitter followers. And they have used, they're the restaurant that Twitter built. I wrote a book with Joe Storage, the owner, called Twitter Works. And so Joe, my favorite story about Joe is he decided on April 16th of 2010, it was the first annual Foursquare Day. Well, four to the second power, right? Four times four is 16. So 416,
right.
Foursquare Day, 2010. Joe decided that he was going to partner with a local business, with Lackey and Joyce, who sells outdoor gear, and put a kayak, I believe, at the end of Milwaukee's Water Street. So think about a kayak on Water Street with the sign, and decided to invite people down so they could check in on Foursquare and then check out his restaurant, because he was basically giving away the I'm on a boat badge, so everybody could sit in a kayak and legitimately say, I'm on a boat at A.J. Bomber's. So, if you know anything about Foursquare, if you get more than 50 people, you get a swarm badge, and if you get over 100 people that are checked in at the same time, you get a super swarm badge. Well, 130 people checked in the same time, filled his restaurant, buying beverages, watching other people be in the kayak, took pictures, shot video.
It was
over
an event.
130 people had an event,
right?
And got promotional promotional consideration for himself, for his business, for Lackey and Joy's, and for all the people there, and then posted all those pictures to Facebook and Twitter and Flickr and all over the internet with pictures of them on a boat. And they tweeted it out. Hey, look at me. I'm on a boat at AJ Bombers. Imagine how little that costs to be that creative and to get 130 people in, some for the first time because they would drive past and see the silliness that was people paddling back and forth at the end of Water Street in a kayak.
Oh.
It was awesome.
They didn't even have to give the kayak away. It was just used.
That's right. Just used.
Very neat.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very neat idea. And there's so many ways that you can partner to do these things. I think that people need to get over the idea that we stand alone. We're a business, and we're just here by ourselves struggling. You don't have to struggle. You partner up with other people who have, similar products or complementary products, and off you go. I mean, you're only limited by your imagination.
That's right. That's
excellent
right.
story. I love that. Now, that was a book. Is it still in print? Can people find that book?
Absolutely. Yep. It's on Amazon.com. It's called Twitter Works. If you put the pound sign in front of that and make it one word, it's a hashtag, because Twitter does work. So we put hashtag Twitter Works, and that's how we collected some stories. So feel free to pick that up. But it's absolutely on Amazon. It's a story of two restaurants, actually. Joe Sorge and Scott Badinger, who owns Streets of Pizza, which is a pizza truck here in Milwaukee.
Nice.
Yeah, lots of fun.
I love that story. Well, your new book, tell me a little bit about that, because you've got some great people that contributed to that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's called The Naked Truth of Social Media. You can get it for free until my birthday on December 2nd.
Oh, happy birthday.
Year. Thank you. Yeah, well, that's why I did December 2nd. So
I wondered. I was
going to
ask you.
Yep.
What's the significance of December 2? I didn't know.
Yep, my birthday. So you can go to socialmedianakedtruth.com and pick up a copy of it. And what it is it's really just a bunch of people that I think are very important in social media, folks that I trust and that I look up to, sharing information about what they feel is the truth about social media and debunking some myths about what it is. Because there's so much out there. So much out there. You have to really have someone you can trust. And hopefully, if you're listening to this, hopefully you recognize that I'm an earnest person. I'm not here to, sell you a watch or anything. So hopefully you'll trust me enough to go check out my free ebook, and just some amazing folks. Tom Martin, you mentioned Susan Brancini Moe, Ari Herzog, Jason Falls, Brian Clark from Copy Blogger, Carrie Yannick, Chris Reimer, lots and lots of folks. I'm sure I'm missing some of them, so apologies to them. But just great stuff. And again, I know I'm not the only source of smart in the universe. So I got together some folks that I respect, and I wanted to hear what they thought was the naked truth of social media. And then, of course, I added my two cents at the end.
Right. Well, I read through it, and like I told you, I read through it and went, oh, my gosh. And then I printed it out, and it is yellow marked all over the place. And I'll read it again and again, because here's the thing. When you're reading from that many people, I'll scan through it, but then I'll come back at another time when I really needed to go back, and it'll be in my head and go, okay, what did Chris say? What did Susan say? There it is. And it will read differently to me when I'm actually looking for it.
Yep, that's right.
Information will always be there for me. So it is a great book. It's a quick read. It's an easy read. And, I have great respect for everybody that contributed to it.
Thank you.
So everybody grab it. It's a good book. In fact, grab it now so you can read it over the Thanksgiving holiday and come out of the gate shooting after the holiday is over.
That's right. 45 days left of 2012 as of this talk. So you got to take it for 2013 or use it to crank up the last 45 days of this year.
There you go. Well, I'm not one of these people that believes in, okay, I'm going to start on January 1st. I start when my feet hit the floor. That's my day. I do plan way out, but I'm not going to go, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this on January 1st or you know, the 14th. I'm doing it right now or tomorrow or the next day. But, you know, it, people work differently. But you're right. Grab it and start planning now. Because
yeah.
Social media is here to stay. Social media will grow. It will expand. And, you know, it's not going away at all, is it?
No. Not
where
at all.
Where do you see it going?
Anything,
do you have any ideas? Yeah, do you have any ideas of where we, what we might see in the near future?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think that we're going to see a lot more video because the pipe
yeah.
is going to get bigger. That's probably the biggest, one of the biggest things that I see. And what do I mean by that? It sounds kind of technical. Well, by that, I mean people will have more ability to download stuff and to see things online
mm-hmm.
that are higher resolution, higher quality, and that are more, you know, kind of more bandwidth intensive. So whereas before, if we flash back 10 years and we think about the slow speeds that we had then, now with 4G and LTE, I mean, we're seeing here in Milwaukee, some people have experienced download speeds of 40 megs a second. That's enormous.
Whoa.
That's like turning on your television and watching
right.
a video. That's pretty darn fast. So I expect video will be important. Along that same line, mobile for social
mm-hmm.
is going to be really important. And what do I mean by that, and how does that relate to social? So products like Sonar and Foursquare that tell you, hey, your friends are close by, why don't you hang out with them, are going to become more and more useful. And if you flip that to the marketer's perspective and the business perspective, if you have a business, you're going to be able to see where your customers are so that if you're slow right now, you might be able to offer customers that are nearby you a special right now.
Mm-hmm.
The same
Chick-fil-A
time,
does that.
Yeah,
exactly.
That. Mm-hmm. Yep, there are companies that are already using that. And
right.
if you flip that over and you're a services-based company, if you're a services-based company, you can offer those immediate specials to folks that are looking for that. And the other thing we're seeing is I think we'll see even more remarketing to folks. Facebook is already doing this, where if you click a like on Facebook or you click through to something, that then follows you all over the Internet. Now, some folks might say that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I don't care for it myself.
Yeah. Well, but here's what it does, though, is if you do like something, if your friends recommend something because they know you like it and they don't recommend everything, because right now it's being tested and it's not a good fit, but as we see it becoming more and more relevant, you'll then be able to be more and more targeted with what you have, and that will become even more shared. Because what I don't want is advertising that's not relevant to me. I don't want marketing that's unrelevant to me, and I really don't want my friends to talk about stuff that I don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do talk about stuff I care about, I absolutely want to see that. So I think we'll see that it's going to be, right? It's going to be even easier to know what's relevant and what's not, because we'll have even more data. The rise of big data, what that means is if you think about all the things that you click like on, click subscribe to, shared, all that stuff, put that in a blender, and out comes, instead of just a whirling green mushy mess, instead comes out some useful information, like that, I believe his name was Nate Silver, that was able to predict every state's voting for
Nate
the presidential
Silver, exactly.
election because
well,
he
his book
looked
went
at
up
the
like-
data.
Yeah, his book went up something like 500% on Amazon. It was insane.
Yep. So think about that, right? Think about that relevancy and how that's going to work. And with
right.
social, that means that we're going to need to be even more relevant for folks and even more niche. And to those alt tags, if we don't say that it's a size 2 blue shirt for women, people aren't going to see that that's relevant, because relevant is relevant to me. I don't want a woman's shirt advertised to me. My wife might want that, but I don't. Right?
No, she
and
doesn't. She wants a Coach bag or something.
Yeah,
like that.
She's got a couple of those.
Gucci.
So that's another story for another day.
I know. I love Coach. And mine is Dooney and Burke, I have to say. Well, will you come back? I mean, I haven't even tapped into all the questions I have, and I'd like to talk about the big data more.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Well, I will get you back after the first of the year, after the holidays, and we can kind of carry on and see where we left off and what has changed in that time, because I know there will be changes. I know
Absolutely.
There will be.
Yeah, it always does every day.
I know. I know. You know, I started years ago, decided I was going to teach training courses, and it dawned on me that I really don't want to do the upkeep on them because things change so much. So I leave that to other people, and I just refer them. It's just not my thing. But, I mean, I wake up every day, and what I did yesterday in some cases has now completely changed. And you have to be very flexible in this kind of a world. Phil, you have been a delight. I am so glad you were able to be here with me today. And you've given some really, really great and valuable information to our listeners. And I appreciate it, and I know they do as well.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, I look forward to chatting with you again in the new year, and I hope you have a terrific birthday.
Yay! Thank you. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm at the birthday party. My wife's having surgery for that, so we'll see.
Oh, well, I will keep track of you online. Well, listen, everybody, thank you for being here. And the show will be available for download in about an hour, maybe a little less. And this is Denise Griffiths and Phil Gerbyshack wishing you a wonderful weekend. And to our American audience, a happy and safe Thanksgiving holiday. We will not be broadcasting next Friday as I'm taking a vacation. I have not been on vacation in about 5 years. I think I need one. But I will see you again on November 30th. Phil, thank you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too. Thank you. Gobble, gobble.
Thanks. Bye.